Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis on the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Monday, June 14th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on a day following another series win for the Philadelphia Phillies, a two-game series win over the New York Yankees. Phillies playing tremendous baseball here in the month of June. They are now 7-2. Again, they just won two games against the Yankees, 8-7 on Saturday, 7-0 on Sunday, scoring a total of 15 runs. This is a Phillies team scoring 6.7 runs per game in the month of June. That brings them up to 4.3 runs on the season. The offense has been dreadful for the first 2 months. Here in the first 2 weeks of June, they have been flat out great. Alec Boehm, he's 7 for his last 17. Bryce Harper, he goes 4 for 9 in the Yankees series. He gets a couple of RBIs on Saturday. The team's playing better defense. They're tied for 5th in Major League Baseball in June in outs above average. They've prevented 4 runs. Again, that's a StatCast analytic for team defense, a team that has been bad at defense all year. Shout out to Destiny Legardo, who of course has been on this podcast and does great work for PhilliesNation.com, for tweeting that out and pointing that stat out on Twitter yesterday. They get a solid outing from Velasquez on Saturday, Nola on Sunday. They had good base running on Saturday. Travis Jankowski, who of course helped blow a game for the Phillies just a couple of weeks ago by getting caught stealing in a game against the Nationals between second and third, when Alex Avila literally ran him down 110 feet, and the Philly, he was the tying run. He tags up because no one was covering second base on a pop-up. It ends up helping the Phillies out, and Ronald Torres comes home, scores the winning run, 3 consecutive walk-offs for the Phillies going through Saturday. They didn't need a walk-off on Sunday. They're striking out a lot less. They struck out just 13 times in these past 2 games. They have 7.4 strikeouts per game in June. The only team striking out at a lower rate than that on the season is the Astros. The Phillies have struck out 9.7 times per game on the year. That's 13th in the National League. They used to be dead last and were striking out more than 10 times per game. Like, everything is going really well for this team. They are playing very, very good baseball, scoring a lot of runs, playing good defense, getting good pitching performances up and down the rotation here in the month of June. And this is the best baseball, I have no problem saying this, this is the best baseball they have played since the beginning of the season. Since they started this season out 5-1 on that homestand, this is the best baseball season I have seen them play since then. And you don't have to look any further than just the win-loss record. Again, they won 2 against the Yankees, won 2 of 3 from the Braves, 2 of 3 from the Nationals. They won 1 of 2 from the Cincinnati Reds. A game got rained out. But on this past homestand, losing just 2 games of the 8 they played, so 6-2 on the homestand, 7-2 in the month overall, they're playing really, really solid, strong baseball right now. It's almost unrecognizable from the previous 2 months we saw, again, with the exception of that first stretch at the beginning of the season. They, of course, had that Brewers series where they won 4 in a row, went down to Atlanta and won one. But I would say this is arguably the best baseball they have played all season. The way they're doing it, their approach at the plate looks better. Again, striking out a hell of a lot less. They haven't had a home run since Luke Williams' walk-off home run on Wednesday night. So that's 3 games in a row. In modern-day baseball, people think that, you know, small ball has gone out the window, and in many respects it has. And this is not an attack on the new age baseball. I think there's a lot of things that can be gained from analytics, and there are reasons as to why strikeout numbers are up and pitching is different and better these days, and why there's more home runs and guys swinging for home runs. But it was refreshing from an entertainment perspective to see this team just take the first inning of Saturday's ballgame, literally just going station to station, keeping the ball in the ballpark, and they put up 4 runs right there in the top of the first. They run Jameson Taillon right out of the game. The game was ultimately blown later. They had a 7-2 lead. Hector Neris has had a rough week. He's not pitching his best of late. And everyone loves to point out when he's not pitching well, but no one wants to acknowledge that he had a solid month there where he hadn't allowed a run since his bad outing in Atlanta in early to mid-May. Hector Neris, I heard a point, Tim Kelly, actually, previous host here on Locked On Phillies, I had a chance to speak with him on the radio the other night, and he brought up a good point about the fact that he's been on the team so long, and so you have so many bad memories of him just on the sheer fact that he's been around for so long, but he also has stretches where he's virtually unhittable. That splitter is really working effectively. I still think he's the best option to be the closer on this team moving forward. Now, if he has a bad road trip or he still blows a couple more saves here, you might see a change. Archie Bradley is now pitching better. But this is a team, my overall point is this. This is a team that has had countless flaws exposed in game after game after game this season, many of which I have complained about, feels like an endless number of times on this very podcast. And that team, the calendar struck June, and it almost feels like that team, we haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. We have seen a team, this is what we expected with this Phillies team. This is what the expectations, perhaps unrealistic, that I had from this team after that first homestand of the season. A team that offense shows up in games, that shows up in big games, that shows up and doesn't strike out time after time after time. Games that aren't unwatchable. There was a four-hour game on Saturday, and I was zoned in on every pitch. By the way, I was at the game on Saturday. It felt like an event, which it was actually kind of cool having all the Yankee fans there, which is weird to say. And I saw a guy, and I tweeted this out, I saw a guy in a full Aaron Judge, a tribute to Aaron Judge. It wasn't an Aaron Judge jersey, but a full court judge costume. They, of course, do that up in New York. There was a guy down here. He was in his mid-50s. It looked very corny. A lot of the Yankee fans are obnoxious, and I know Philadelphia fans have a rap too, but the Yankees are like the Cowboys or the Lakers, and they travel in big bunches, and they can be annoying, and it's annoying whenever they come to town. But as a pure baseball fan, and as a Phillies fan who ultimately ended up on the winning side of this game, it made the game feel like an event, and it did add something to it, because for many Phillies games so far this season, it's been kind of a dead crowd. They're now allowing full capacity in the ballpark. Earlier this week, we had 14,000. The game's dead, and it doesn't feel like much of an event. We had 38,000 down at the ballpark for these past two games. And even though the lead got blown, even though the Yankee fans were going nuts when DJ LeMahieu tied the game on Saturday, the Phillies ultimately came back and won. And it proved to me that they're a resilient group right now, and they're a group that isn't giving up. The moment was not too big for them. It has felt like in a number of times earlier this season, I have complained that Joe Girardi almost feels like he does not have this team prepared for big games, and the moment sometimes does get a little too big for them. That was not the case on Saturday. On Sunday, in front of another 38,000-plus crowd, they showed up and ran the Yankees right out of the building. And I get it's not a big game from the perspective of perhaps the standings. The Yankees are an interleague opponent, but anytime you play a team like the Yankees, and they are like the evil empire of Major League Baseball, they of course have 27 rings. Talk to one of their fans; they'll let you know in about 15 seconds. They are a team that everyone grows up watching, either loving or hating. They're a polarizing team, and anytime they're on the schedule, I don't care what league they're playing in, it's a big game. And whenever you see a crowd filled that much, it's a big game. And it was a big series, I think, for the Phillies, for Philadelphia. Baseball coming back in general. Of course, this country has gone through a lot in the past year plus. It was nice to be back in a packed stadium. It felt like old times. It felt like we hadn't lost a step, maybe society-wise. It's Philly versus New York, and this is what we need to get back to just as sports fans. And it was nice to see the Phillies play well. The offense showed up. They're not just striking out left and right. They don't need home runs to score. From an entertainment value, it was great. And you know what? When the entertainment value is great and you have a mixed bag in the stands, the game went 4 hours, 2 minutes long. I didn't hear anyone complaining about how long the game was. You know why? Because it was entertaining. And then ultimately the Phillies won. You will put up with the length of the game will not matter if there's action packed in it. And every single pitch of this game felt like there was action riding on it. And when the ballpark feels lively and the teams feel into it, it makes it feel like it's more than just one of 162. So I had a really fun weekend watching baseball again. I was at the game on Saturday. This team is playing well. And my parting thought is this, before we head into the break here. Philly's playing well here in June. As I mentioned, 7-2, coming off winning two games against the Yankees. By the way, they will head up back up to Yankee Stadium in July, just after the All-Star break. That should be fun as well. Not that the Yankees are so great right now. I mentioned they're the evil empire, and they have all these championships, but they haven't won one since 2009 when Joe Girardi was the manager there. The Yankees are not playing great baseball right now either. They dropped to 33-32 on the season. The Phillies improve after all this. They are now a game above 500, if you can believe it, 32-31. So the Yankees certainly have their struggles right now. I'm not trying to pretend like that brand is somehow worth more. It's worth more because of what it historically represents. But right now, this is a struggling Yankee team. And they didn't light up Gerrit Cole or anything like that. They avoided him in this series. When they head back up to New York, it's quite possible that they will face him. But this is a team that rose to the occasion of playing in a big-time game environment on a weekend and just swept out the New York Yankees and won two from the Atlanta Braves, a team they historically struggle with, and won a series against the Washington Nationals, who have been bad this season or last place in the National League East. But you know what? It's fine. If that's what they needed to get back on track, that's totally fine with me. Here's the parting thought, though. This upcoming road trip they have, at the Los Angeles Dodgers, at the San Francisco Giants, the two highest win totals in the National League, first and second place in the National League West, respectively. Of course, Gabe Kapler manages the Giants, the Dodgers, the defending World Series champions. This is the biggest test the Phillies have had so far this season. Two National League teams on the road where we know this team is not nearly as good as they are at home. It took a homestand to get this team back on track. Let's go prove it on the road. This Phillies team absolutely needs to prove it on the road. They need to prove that this wasn't just another freak homestand where they win a bunch of games in a row and they rope everybody back in after a couple of wins over the Yankees just to go out west and go 1-5. That cannot happen on this trip. I don't have unrealistic expectations for how this trip is going to go. As I mentioned, these two teams are playing well this season, two highest win totals in the National League. But is it too much to ask for a 3-3 split? Hold your own. Prove that the moment is not too big for you. As I mentioned, big crowds this weekend at Citizens Bank Park with Phillies fans and Yankee fans. We know that Dodger fans, it's another big-time environment, kind of the Yankees of the West, if you will. And they are the defending champs and a better team than the Yankees so far this season. And San Francisco, they love their baseball out there too. And they are just playing well overall on the season. A little bit of a surprise to some, but they're just having a monster year here through their first 65 games. This is the biggest test for the Phillies for a couple of reasons. One, they're back in the National League. Two, these games are on the road. I think the timing of it is incredibly imperative because they need to prove that they can do it on the road after kind of righting the ship here a little bit at home. And if they go out west and they let this series go, if they're winning 1-5, 2-4, if they blow a couple games in embarrassing fashion, then they come back home and you say, okay, it's the same old Phillies. But they have the opportunity this week, if they play well, let's say they go 3-3 and they're in most of these games and their approach to the plate still looks good and they get solid pitching outings, maybe they even win 4-2. Could you imagine that? This team will have me and a lot of this fan base fully roped back in as they return home for another weird two-game series against the Nationals before heading back up to play the Mets in New York. We talked about at the beginning of the month how important this month would be for the Philadelphia Phillies. This is perhaps the biggest test, not just of this month of June, but of the entire season. Again, because of how good these teams are, because they're in the National League, because it's on the road, and because of how this team is playing, I have never felt, there's not a time in the season that I would prefer for them to go into this series for, if that makes sense. Like a month ago, I would have felt horrible about this Dodgers-Giants trip. A couple of weeks ago, I would have felt horrible about this Dodgers and Giants trip. Right now, based upon how they just played on the homestand, I'm trying not to overreact, but they're back up above 500. this is perhaps the biggest test they've had of the season and the most confident I feel about them attacking a test like this during this entire season. That's my take on the current state of the Phillies. I think things are really going well. A few things I didn't even get to in terms of just how well guys are hitting the ball. Ronald Torres comes through with a couple of big hits in Saturday's ballgame. He's really turned into a cool story as the everyday shortstop. Alec Bohm, I thought, looked better on defense. The team overall is looking better on defense, but especially in Saturday's ballgame as well. Aaron Nola answering the call. Again, he went 7 2/3 on Sunday. 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. A guy who doesn't usually come up big in big games. We know he's pitched poorly down the stretch of seasons, especially in September, while in front of almost a full house at Citizens Bank Park. Not quite a sellout. But in front of 38,000-plus Phillies and Yankee fans alike, I don't want to say a playoff atmosphere, but one of the biggest atmospheres they've played in all season, and frankly, one of the bigger atmospheres that Aaron Nola has pitched in his entire career. While he's having a struggling season, every start for him feels like a big start. It's like, hey, he needs to try and right the ship here. There had to have been pressure on him to keep this team's momentum rolling. And he comes out 7 2/3 scoreless. Tremendous outing by Aaron Nola. His fastball command looked really solid. His curveball had some serious bite to it. And it was the best he's looked in a really, really long time. So overall, feeling great about the state of this ball club. Again, they had 3 consecutive walk-offs this week, 4 consecutive wins, and they head out west. They should be feeling confident. I'm starting to feel a little bit more confident. But the fact of the matter is that these upcoming 6 games is the biggest test this team has had all season. And we are going to learn a lot about this Phillies team based upon how they respond. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about Wealthfront. If you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds, they're not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the performances, or the preferences, I should say, you control, so you can track your performances. Wealthfront, you can even lower your taxes, and you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can cover more than the annual 25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. The first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's Wealthfront, WealthFront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Recapping a weekend series against the New York Yankees. Again, the Phillies were off on Friday, winning games on both Saturday and Sunday to improve to 7-2 in the month of June. On Saturday, game I was at, Phillies win 8-7 in 10 innings, and a wild game this was. So, scoring gets started in the bottom half of the first. First of all, top half of the first. Vince Velasquez comes out looking very, very good against the top half of that Yankee lineup. LeMahieu grounds out. Judge fouls out to first base, and Hoskins and Kleber Torres flies out to center field. 1-2-3 inning go the Yankees in the top half of the first. Bottom half of the first, Jameson Taillon could not even get out of the bottom of the first inning. Started with an Odubel Herrera single, Gene Segura singled, JT Realmuto singled, Bryce Harper singled. That scored 2. Herrera and Segura came around. So literally not going station to station, but all singles at this point. Hoskins draws a walk. Harper moves up to second base. You have bases loaded again. Andrew McCutchen hits a sacrifice fly. Phillies up 3-0. Alec Bohm hits a single. Again, he's 7 for his last 17, starting to have better looking at bats here in the month of June. Phillies get up to a 4-0 lead, literally with all singles, a sacrifice fly, and a walk mixed in there. Beautiful inning, again, just like moving 90 feet, 90 feet, 90 feet for the most part. a thing of beauty. And they got out to a very solid 4-0 lead. Again, Taillon in this game for the Yankees. He only records one out, and it was that sacrifice fly. So Yankees going to the bullpen very, very quick in this game. They go to Nestor Cortes Jr. To get the next 3 2/3 innings. So Philly's up 4-0. Top half of the second, Velasquez gets himself into a little bit of trouble. Gary Sanchez homers. Brett Gardner hit an RBI triple to right. That cut the lead down to 4-2. The game would carry on, and in the bottom of the fourth inning, Phillies got a run back. It was a Gene Segura shallow to left center field. He's been flat out awesome this season. I didn't get to him in my monologue. You know, I've mentioned a few times that Zach Wheeler likely going to be an all-star for this Phillies team this season. It's been quite some time since the Phillies have had multiple all-stars, and this could be the year that they actually have multiple all-stars representing in Colorado. Gene Segura on the season hitting .329, continues to hit here in this series. He's been tremendous. Again, a couple of walk-offs here this season. So it's certainly someone who, as the All-Star game campaigning continues and the voting continues and the team selection process continues, we're only about a month out. We sit here on June 14th. The All-Star game, again, originally scheduled to be in Atlanta, now moved to Colorado, is on Tuesday, July 13th. So just about 4 weeks out here from that. And so it should be exciting to see what Phillies do make it. Again, it's a, you know, a side thing in the season. It's not ultimately important. It's just who had the best first half. But it would be nice to have multiple Phillies hats representing in the All-Star game, because, again, it has been quite some time. And you think back to the glory days of when the Phillies were winning the NL East every year and had multiple Phillies representing every single year, and back-to-back years of Charlie Manuel being the manager and the Phillies coaching staff being there at the All-Star game on the national stage. So a tremendous season thus far for Gene Segura, certainly making his All-Star campaign heard loud and clear. So he gives the Phillies a 5-2 lead in the fourth inning, it was. And then you fast forward top half of the fifth, Yankees got a couple of base runners on. It was a Brett Gardner infield single. Chris Gittens walked. They had a couple of runners on, but an Aaron Judge strikeout and the Gleyber Torres strikeout to end the inning following a LeMahieu fielder's choice ended that run for the Yankees and their frame. Bottom half of the fifth, Phillies piling on more runs. Another run opportunity, another runners on scoring position opportunity for Alec Bohm. Another time that he comes through again. He's swinging a much better bat here in the month of June. He came up, he hit in Rhys Hoskins with a single. McCutchen moved up to second after Hoskins started the inning off with a walk, and McCutchen reached on an infield single. That made it 6-2. Ronald Torres, a little damage against his former team. He doubles to left field. That made it 7-2. And Phillies in full control of this game, up 7-2. And now they're just 12 outs away and can't blow a 5-run lead. And sure enough, what do they do? Top half of the sixth inning, Rougned Odor, he hits a home run. That was after Sam Coonrod came in the game. He gave the Phillies two strong innings. That was the only run he allowed. Ranger Suarez, who hadn't allowed an earned run all season, he came in to pitch the eighth, where the Yankees would get a run back as well. That was a Gary Sanchez single to right field. Aaron Judge, who was on base after singling and moving up on a ground out, comes around to score with two outs. So a two-out Sanchez single makes it 7-4. Bottom half of the eighth, the Phillies go down relatively quietly. 1-2-3, Herrera flies out, Segura grounds out, Realmuto flies out, and we go to the ninth. And that means it's Hector Neris time in a save situation, and he's facing 7-8-9, Miguel Andujar, Brett Gardner, and Tyler Wade, the pinch hitter, at the end of the Yankee lineup. And everyone's thinking the same thing in the ballpark. I was thinking it, I'm sure everyone else was thinking it, is just don't let this get back to the top of the order, and certainly don't let this get back to the top of the order, especially Aaron Judge, but the top of the order in general with the tying run at the plate. Well, sure enough, Neris comes in, he gets the first out, and Duhar grounds out, but he walks Brett Gardner, who, you know, even in his late age, and he spent his entire career with the Yankees, he feels like he's 500 years old at this point. You know he loves to walk. You know he has a good eye. You know he likes to grind at bats. He got on base a number of times in Saturday's ballgame. Tyler Wade draws a walk after that. And sure enough, DJ LeMahieu comes up with two runners on, down three runs, and he hits a home run into left field, tie game. And the Yankee fans are going nuts, and everyone who dislikes Hector Neris, doesn't think he should be the closer, is immediately coming out of the woodwork again saying, see, this is why he can't do it. And he doesn't get an excuse for this. I thought the game, it wasn't actually lost with the home run itself. It was the walks that preceded it. His command certainly and his control needs to be a lot better. It looked like he was a little fidgety on the mound. His splitter wasn't splitting with the same vengeance, I guess you could say, that it usually does. And you can see it with Hector Neris, like the body language. He's fixing his hat left and right. He dropped the ball on the mound at one point. It seemed like, although the moment wasn't big overall for the Phillies in this series, it almost seemed like the moment was getting to him a little bit. He seemed out of sorts, did not look right, which caused the Phillies to go to actually hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. Not a sight that anyone wanted to see. Well, Bryce Harper, he leads off the bottom of the ninth inning with a double. Phillies cannot get him in. Hoskins, he flies out to right, not deep enough to get Hoskins, or to get Harper, rather, to third base. Judge kind of was fairly shallow when he caught it. Harper definitely not going to run on him. McCutcheon, he gets intentionally walked. Alec Bohm hit into a fielder's choice, and the inning ended with Ronald Torres striking out swinging, which sent us to the 10th inning. Of course, in extra innings, you get the runner on second base, which means it's going to be a lot of high-powered action, a lot of high wire act, if you will. Every team just starting with a runner in scoring position makes things that more interesting, whether you like the rule or not. So a ground out, so initial placement, Gleyber Torres, he goes to second base. We had a ground out in front of the plate. It was scored as a ground out, but it was just a little chopper in front of the plate. Realmuto throws it down to first. That was one out. Sanchez strikes out. Higashioka strikes out. And that will do it for the Yankees in the top half of the 10th inning. So we're still 7-7, bottom half of the 10th inning. Philly's going to have the runner on second base. It's going to be Torres. And that's 180 feet away is the winning run. That's all they needed. Jankowski comes in, Travis Jankowski comes in, and lays down a beautiful bunt. A beautiful bunt. A lot of people thought that Rhys Hoskins probably should have bunted in the ninth inning when Bryce Harper got to second base. That was kind of like an extra inning, simulated inning with Harper leading off with the double. Hoskins flied out to right. The rest of that inning did not result in a run. Bottom half of the 10th inning, Joe Girardi answers the call, has Jankowski bunt, the lost art of bunting. It was a beautiful bunt. Aroldis Chapman, who had come in for the 10th, goes to field it, throws high, runners on first and third. And there's still nobody out at this point, by the way. So runners on first and third, nobody out. Winning run is 90 feet away. That brings the top of the order in Odubel Herrera up to the plate. Now, he hits a pop-up, a foul ball that was caught in front of the Yankee dugout. And no one went to cover second base. So Travis Jankowski actually tags up, which takes the double play out of order. It takes the force out at second base just entirely as an option out of order. But really, it got the two outs. But now Aaron Boone and the Yankees are forced to just cut off that run because you can't even line up for double play depth. So they have to cut off that run in Torres. Gene Segura comes up, hits one down the third base line, resulted in an infield single. Torres slides home safe. And ultimately, Hector Neris is somewhat off the hook for blowing the game in the ninth inning. Phillies win 8-7. Again, it was the third walk-off in a row. Gene Segura's second walk-off in as many games. And the Phillies live happily ever after. It was a great, gutsy win. They showed resilience, picking up Hector Neris, despite the fact that he did not clearly have his best stuff or his best body language on the mound there in the ninth inning. Again, I still believe he should be the closer. I think he's the best option on this team. If he continues to blow more saves, if he has a bad road trip, certainly you look in a different direction with even guys like Archie Bradley, who has closer experience and pitching better of late on the roster. But let's see how things go on the road trip. You think back to a few years ago, one of his worst outings ever is when he allowed back-to-back-to-back home runs to lose at Dodger Stadium. So if we see a repeat of that, sure, you take Hector Neris out of the closer's role. I still think as of now he is the best option on this team, and that he doesn't get nearly enough credit when things are going well for about a month in a row. Just because the team perhaps was not playing up to standards doesn't mean that he wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. That takes us to Sunday, and again, just everything looked beautiful. The Phillies did everything right in Sunday's ballgame. 7 runs, still no home runs. It was bottom of the first. Realmuto brings in a run with an infield single. In the second inning, Odubel Herrera gets an RBI double. Gene Segura drives in two, continues to hit strong with a single. That made it 4-0. Bottom half of the fifth inning, Realmuto had an RBI single. That scored Segura. Andrew McCutchen getting in on the action. He doubled in two. Realmuto and Harper scored in the bottom of the fifth. And that was all the Phillies needed in this game. Domingo Germán, who started for the Yankees, got shelled in this one. He goes 4 1/3, allows 10 hits, 7 runs, 1 walk, just 2 strikeouts, 82 pitches. Not a strong outing for him. A beautiful outing for Aaron Nola, who needed it in a big way. One of his biggest outings of the entire season, going 7 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, keeping Yankee hitters off balance all game long. 9 strikeouts on 103 pitches. Gets his ERA down to 3.69 on the season. His whip down to 1.14. And again, he answered the call. The reason why I feel I and many others get on Aaron Nola so much is because we know the potential is there. We know that ace caliber stuff is there. And he frankly has not been consistent enough so far this season to prove that he should be regarded as an ace. But let's just put that argument on the back burner for just a second. This was a big spot for Aaron Nola, as is every game. But again, in a Sunday start against the Yankees with a big-time crowd and the Phillies trying to close out a homestand, and he gives them one of his best efforts of the entire season as they head into this road trip. I thought it was a really, really big start for him. Hopefully it lifts his confidence. He'll go again later in San Francisco on this road trip, so hopefully it carries into that, and this isn't a rarity, but more so becoming the norm. I still have faith that Aaron Nola will turn it around at some point. Pitchers do have bad halves, if you will. I don't think he's pitching at anything close to all-star caliber level at this point. But when you see starts like this, it almost makes it even more annoying when you see him struggle, when you see him struggle with command, his curveball not having the same bite, his fastball not having the same emphasis or the same command that you know that he's capable of. And when he goes out and shuts down the Yankees, again, who are struggling. I'm not trying to overhype what this start means for Aaron Nola, but it was a really, really big spot for Nola. It was a really, really big spot for the Phillies, and he pitched well, and it was, I think, just huge and cannot be overstated when he does pitch well, kind of how the added value that it brings to that team. If Nola can get back to pitching the way that I think we all know Aaron Nola can, it will pay major, major dividends for this team. Being in contention towards the end of the season, it's almost hard to imagine him getting back to an ace level and the Phillies not being in it at the end of the year. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast, the final segment of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up. We will preview, again, what I am calling the biggest road trip, the biggest test, the biggest 6 games, whatever you want to call it, the biggest week maybe of the entire Phillies season, coming off a big homestand where we know they are capable of having really, really good stretches at home. They haven't proven that they can do that on the road so far this season. They're doing it against two of the National League's best coming up this week, and they're doing it in really a pivotal point in the season where they have the chance to make up some ground in the division and coming off winning a couple of big games over the weekend and just playing, I think, their best baseball all season, just top to bottom here in the month of June. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite flavors because there are 9 of them. If you don't know that by now, come on, get with the program. 9 delicious flavors. And if you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, well, there's coconut almond, there's cherry, there's raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get the mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Flavors have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today, get that raspberry, that mint brownie, or whatever you would like. Again, if you can't decide, just get the mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Also have to tell you about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing. You can track all of the action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and UFC/MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams are playing in the playoffs right now, NBA, NHL, and of course Major League Baseball well underway in their season as we continue here in the month of June. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Taking a look ahead to this Dodgers series and really this week as a whole for the Phillies and what I believe to be the biggest week for the Phillies so far in the season, playing the two top teams in the National League, trying to continue the winning streak and the winning ways that they've been on. Super critical for this team and to everyone to basically prove that they can do this on the road and that this win streak was not just a fluke and an overall average or mediocre season for the Phillies. So, three games at Dodger Stadium, all of them 10-10 starts, so hope you like late-night baseball. I actually like it, but I have a weird sleep schedule anyway. But 10-10 baseball, Phil's after dark, works perfectly. If you're a Sixers fan, you got Sixers at 7:30. You get to stay up late for the Phil's. Nothing better than that, right? Dodger Stadium, not been kind to the Phil's, not been kind to most teams over the most recent years here. They finally did win the World Series last year. Nice to see the Phillies back out on the West Coast. Of course, they haven't been out to Dodger Stadium or Oracle Park in the past couple of years, or in last year. It's been since 2019, so it's been a couple of years since they've played out there. On Monday, it'll be Spencer Howard going up against Tony Gonsolin, not exactly the aces of either staff. That will be the pitching matchup of this series. Will be on Wednesday. Get to that in a second. Big start for Spencer Howard, looking how deep he can go into this game. Again, Ranger Suarez allowing his first run. Always seems like he has to come on in relief for Spencer Howard because you get that velocity dip. So something to note there in the Monday game. On Tuesday, it'll be Zach Eflin going up against Julio Urias. Urias has a 3.56 ERA so far on the season. And for Zach Eflin, he's been pretty solid so far for the Phils this season. He's had a couple of starts of late that have not been stellar. I'm looking back to May 30th in Tampa Bay and May 24th against the Marlins when he allowed four runs and three runs respectively in each of those games. But he's coming off a game just last week against the Braves where he went six innings, one run. Hopefully he can continue his strong pitching of late here into Dodger Stadium. Of course, the Dodgers owned him for less than 24 hours. He was the compensation for the Phillies in the Jimmy Rollins trade. I think overall it's been a pretty good trade for the Phillies as they shipped off their older players from the World Series team and the NL East run there towards the end, getting a pretty solid pitcher in Zach Eflin. He comes in with 3.89 ERA on the season and a guy you feel good about most of the time when he steps out there on the mound as he continues to develop into a stronger and stronger arm in this rotation and continues on the trend of lowering his ERA in each of the last couple of seasons. But it's this Wednesday pitching matchup that I and everybody should be eyeing up. First of all, it's a great sports night for Philadelphia sports. Regardless of what happens in the Sixers game tonight, on Wednesday night you're going to have a Sixers game back at the Wells Fargo Center, Game 5, and that's at 7:30. And I'm almost glad the Phils are on the West Coast because at 10:10, right after the Sixers game wraps up, you're going to have Zach Wheeler against Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw, who has a 3.39 ERA on the season. Zach Wheeler, who has a 2.29 ERA on the season, has been tremendous for the Phillies so far this season. Of course, coming off an outing against the Braves where he went eight innings, did not allow a single run in that game. Again, he has been appointment television so far this season. This game is appointment television with those two guys on the hill. So certainly that will be fun to watch and a great test for this Phillies offense. Few things stick out at me for this Phillies team. We'll stick with the offense for now. The Dodgers pitch well. There's a reason why they are where they are, just trailing the Giants by a game or so there at the top of the National League West. Their team ERA so far this season is sixth best in baseball at 3.27. But it's even more impressive what they do on the offensive side. First of all, they score more runs than anyone in the entire National League so far this year. So we know that the Phillies offense is going to have to show up in this series if they want to have any shot. And something, you know, I oftentimes complain about, and especially with the bullpen guys, and you saw it with Neris the other day, is the Phillies pitcher's command and control of the zone is going to have to be spot on in this series. The Dodgers walk more than any team in all of Major League Baseball. They certainly take that patient approach up there to the plate. So this is going to be a tough series for the Phillies. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Dodger Stadium has not been a kind place to the Phillies or most teams in recent years. So if they can find a way, you know, it's a three-game set. A series win would be huge. Definitely have to get a game on this road trip. Overall, between the three games in Dodger Stadium, three games in the Giants, again, bare minimum, I'm looking for them to get a split here. We can continue to look ahead to that Giants series, and there's going to be a lot of fun storylines with Gabe Kapler, of course, managing them as well as they've been playing so far this season with the most wins in the National League. But this is a big test overall, California road trip, and to see how focused this team can be, how locked in this team can be. And was this just a, you know, spur-of-the-moment run that the Phillies went on at home, or are they truly better than they played in the first 2 months of the season? Has this team truly turned a corner here in the month of June? That's what I'll be looking for, and they're going to have to do it against some real legitimate teams here in the next week or so, and I'm going to be incredibly excited to watch it. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked on Phillies podcast. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Make sure you're following on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4, my personal account, and at LO_Phillies for the Locked on Phillies Twitter account. Get all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes with the Locked on Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked on Today podcast in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.